You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. We got Melissa on tonight, and we have Caesar back. Like, how great it is to be loved by you.
It's a star-studded evening here at the Hope Shot.
definitely studded with you.
Stop it. Stop it.
Hey, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I know I had a great weekend. I'm always having a great weekend. I had a conference I just got back from last night. Doing a pod fest over there in Orlando. It was great. It was very informative, very educational, and I met a lot of people. It was really nice. Caesar, would you please read that clarity statement for us, my friend?
Absolutely, buddy. This is the Hope Shot Clarity Statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery, spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our Hope Shot family.
Thank you, Caesar. I got laser beams. If you guys just jumping on, say what's up. Let us know you're here. Also, I'll let you guys know what the topic is. So today is the recovery check-in. We're going to check in, see how everyone's doing. What does your recovery look like? What are you doing this week for your recovery? Do you have any big wins in life? Or you have any big wins in your career? How about, are you struggling? It's okay. Listen, we all struggle. We all struggle. And that's the beauty of this, is all coming together and putting it out there, putting ourselves out there, getting vulnerable. We're going to help you out. That's what this whole thing is about, this recovery community, this recovery family. It's about lifting each other up. Caesar, welcome back. How is your recovery? What is it looking like?
First off, it's good to be back, man. That flu was no joke. Nate went through it too. Yeah, it was ugly. I had to like pause life for like 5 days straight. And I couldn't do anything. I got the brakes pumped on me. I tried to go to the gym like with a mask on. That didn't go very well for me. The next day I was like double sick. So I will freely admit that I was wrong and I should have listened to the people that told me to stay home, but I'm stubborn. So life's good, man. Work is always highly stressful. Family life, just balancing everything between family and work and recovery. And it's always a juggle, but I got some like new inspiration. About 3 weeks ago, my church, who allows us to have meetings there, they asked if we wanted to do like a 12-step study and try to incorporate like biblical stuff into each step when we were teaching in the class. And I was amazed. Like, we have between 18 and 20 people showing up to this little class every Sunday morning. And it's kind of like reinvigorated me to go to church and get going in the morning. And I just like always have an excuse of why I don't want to go to church right now. The kids aren't ready or whatever the excuse may be. And this has got me where I'm like excited to go back again. And my church has a bunch of people in recovery in it. There's a halfway house that attends there, but we have a bunch of people in recovery in our church. So when we started the church years ago, Kelly and I were like on the ground floor when we built this thing, and they made it a point that they wanted to help people that were suffering in the community. And I was like, hey, I know a bunch of people that are suffering in the community. They're all people that need to find recovery. And they really have like supported everything we've done, from giving us a space to have meetings and just basically giving us the freedom to learn and grow with them as far as the Bible goes, but letting us be our own entity too. Like, the meeting is just a meeting. It's not affiliated with anything else. And because that brought people in, they asked us to have this class. And I mean, we did step three today, and I just get excited because there's people in there that have no idea anything about 12-step recovery that are hearing it for the first time. And there's recovery people that know nothing about the church, at all that are hearing that side of it for the first time. And it ties together really well. If you had asked me 10 years ago, hey, could you see yourself doing a Bible study backed by the 12 steps? I definitely could not see myself doing that because I was completely anti-religion, anti any establishment thing like that. And it's only because of the recovery process that it opened my mind up to be able to grow into this thing where I get to be a teacher of the very thing that I was mocking a little over 10 years ago. And now I get to walk people through this process and I get to see God use me for good things. I can feel stagnant sometimes, just like anybody else. I can be not really excited and just going through the motions of recovery. And then it just takes a little spark like this and I get all re-excited and there's a new audience in there and there's new people that are eager to learn stuff. There's veterans and people from halfway houses. And there's people that are just struggling with things that aren't drugs and alcohol that they're freely sharing. They're church members that are coming in there talking about other outside addictions that they have. And we're tying it all together, trying to make it all inclusive, and it's working so far. And it's, I don't know, it makes me very excited and feel very blessed to be in a position to be able to walk people through that kind of thing. I couldn't have imagined in a million years that I would be a guy. I think Melissa's on here and she's been in there. Yep. Yay, Caesar did a good job today. But I mean, we have these powerful women in recovery. My wife is there, Melissa's there, and we've got guys from recovery in there, and we're just feeding off of each other. And there's a lot of passion for this in there. And I can't believe that I never thought of this before. This wasn't like my great idea. This was the church's idea. They're like, hey, why don't you do this? We were like, holy cow, that's a great idea. To me, it's just what I needed. I needed to get the spark back. I needed to get excited about something again, because it's great to go through the motions and do no harm and all of that, but it's much better when you're back on fire for things again. We can go through the checklist on a daily basis of recovery of, oh, I got up and I did my gratitude list and I read my readings and I went to work and I was miserable at work all day. And then I came home and I made my meeting and I went to the gym and I'm going to do it again tomorrow. That's not exciting though. That's not what got me into this and propelled me along. There was passion and there was just excitement and everything was new and everything was green. So, you know, Justin goes out and gets outside of his comfort zone all the time. I'm not going to tell you what he did because he's going to tell you what he did, but he's going out and doing all these exciting things. And sometimes I get just lost in the mundane because I'm not going out and doing the same kind of community events that he's doing because of my 10 to 12 hour a day job that I have. And it just, to have a little something to spur me along again and get me re-excited was just what the doctor ordered.
That's pretty exciting, man. That's a good amount going on, dude. You're bringing it into your church. And I think that's exciting, man. And what better person to do it than you? I feel like you're going to reach so many people on a new level with what you got going on.
And that's, dude, and I can't shut up in the class. That's how you know I'm excited about stuff. Like, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And then if you go here, and da, 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 because I'm literally just excited and I get to share all this stuff. And it's so different from when I came into the church, because I would just be leaning so heavily on everybody else. I would just be spitting the recovery side of things and going, all right, biblical guys, this is your part where you come in and drop your knowledge. But now I can bounce back and forth between it. And we've got a good group that are coming prepared with, like, we're going back and forth all week and sharing scriptures with each other that go along with it and picking and choosing what we want to use. And just, it's good. We're involved. And I guess I feed off of the people in the room, and the people in the room are engaged and interested, and that's awesome.
All right, Melissa, how are you? What's going on? What's up with your recovery? What's it look like right now? I know you're solo at the house, right?
I am. I'm solo, and for a long period. Y'all know how I just love being all by myself so I can work every day to not stay in my own head. It's extra work. It's so scary. I don't like sitting by myself for very long. Anyway, gotta love you, Caesar. We are always in alignment. We don't talk for weeks. I'm so fortunate to be on here with you guys. Thanks for letting me jump on. I watch y'all every Sunday, but I love getting on here and getting the opportunity to share. But Caesar, our recovery time is even pretty close to each other. I think we're just a few months apart. So I feel like you're my recovery brother. I love it.
What's your date?
What's mine? Mine is November 21st, 2013.
I'm 14. Coming up on my actual 10.
I said 2004. You're coming up on your 10. Yeah. You're coming up on 10 and I just had 10. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought you said 13. I was like, oh, you're good.
I probably did. Anywho, so we were chatting before we jumped on the live, right? And, you know, my radar went up because you were talking about what you're up to. And for me this year, my word is growth. And that's like pretty broad in general, but God knows what it is I'm looking for. I'll just be transparent. I'm looking for personal growth in my 12-step program, in my spirituality, in my maturity, in my relationships. There's just a lot of places that I'm ready to take it to the next level. And I'm starting to fall complacent and I don't like that. I don't like sitting in one place for too long. The thing that I struggle with a lot is not my spirituality. That's on fleek. my religion. And this is the funny part. And I'm actually writing about it because you guys know I'm writing the second book now. It's difficult for me because I work in a church. And you would think if you work in a church, then you go to church, but I don't. I work in a church every single day. And then on the weekends, I'm like, I don't want to go to church because the church I would go to is the one that I work at. And when I'm there, then people want to talk to me about stuff that I work on all throughout the week. And it's not really, I can't ever get in the zone. Do you know what I mean? For the hour that we're at mass, like maybe, but, and then there's some other conflicting things. We have a house where we don't all believe in the same thing. And I want to go in one direction and I want everybody to jump on board. And then it's just this big rigmarole. And I can make all the excuses, like you said, like the kids aren't ready, the whatever. But the fact of the matter is, when I asked for growth and getting into my faith and diving deeper into my faith and actually getting into the word and understanding the word, God delivered it like instantly. Opportunities to do that. And so I knew, what does that tell us? When the doors open like that, then you know you're on the right pathway. You're asking for the right things and they're being delivered in front of you. You have to get into action and take the opportunity. I went to church last night and nobody messed with me. Nobody asked me about stuff that you have to do all week long. As a matter of fact, I kind of felt weird because I was like, why ain't anybody talking to me? But I got like some kind of spiritual bubble around me where I just was left alone and I could go to mass. And this is the coolest thing. And I want to share it with you guys. And I'm definitely going to write about this. I'll go into more detail, of course, when I write. On the way to church, I was telling my son came with me. I was telling him that I was getting tired of advocating for recovery. We get tired. It's a lot that goes on beyond these lives and stuff. And I'm growing sober now. It's becoming a nonprofit. I don't have a big team built up yet. So a lot of work is on my plate and I'm just balancing a lot of stuff. And I'm a runner. We talked about that before. Fight, flight, or freeze. I get the hell out of there. So like as soon as I'm tired or complacent or whatever, I hit the road, but I'm not doing it. That's just, I know that's how I feel. And I'm accepting that and I'm acknowledging it. And then I'm working through it because that's what we do. We show up, right, Justin? So on the way to church, I told my son, it's my youngest, my 11-year-old. And he's so cool. He's so stoic. Every time I talk to him about stuff on a spiritual level or whatever, he gives me the like coolest insight about things. So I'm always authentic with him about my feelings and where I'm at, especially spiritually. And so I said, Jake, I'm just tired. I'm tired. I just want to be like normal mom. I just want to make dinner and I want to take care of the house and I want to show up for your school events and I want to be, my grandson's coming into town soon. And I just want to be like even keel, go with the flow, which really means if you go down a layer beneath that means I don't want to do the work. So I asked for a bunch of stuff spiritually. I asked God for a bunch of stuff. The doors open and the opportunities are there. And now I'm scared, or all my other reasons. I guess the underlying thing might probably just be fear of change and growth, and it's hard. And I'm doing it. I'm showing up where I'm supposed to, but I'm going through that. You know what I mean? And I love that I can be honest with you guys and talk about the dog barking. It's got to stop. You got to stop. I love that I can share with you guys like this, because I would love to just get on here and be like, oh, I've got 10 years of recovery. And I love to say that everything's great. And once you get out there and then you get sober, everything's perfect. It's not like that. I'm scared and I'm going through some changes and I'm going through some growth. I'm getting what I asked for. And now I'm showing up. But so I share with my son all that stuff on the way to church, right? And I'm like, I just don't want to do it anymore. I just want to be like, I want to go back to my little like cubicle and just do just life on like this level or whatever. And we get into church. I go to a Catholic church. They do mass. The priest, I'm sure, is not expecting me to be there because I never go to 5:30 mass. I never go to mass. And so he starts talking about that we have to be cognizant. We have to be aware that the devil's going to try and distract us. And he gets into it, starts talking about addiction. And he starts talking about, he's using the word addiction. I've never heard this priest talk about addiction and mass in front of our community ever. And he starts talking about addiction. He says the word over and over again. And his whole message really boiled down to that we have to stay focused, that there are so many people out there that need to know that there's hope. And that in order to heal ourselves, we have to stay spiritually fit so we can take that and go back out and lend our hand and help others. And my jaw like hit the pew I was sitting in. And I looked at my son and he was like, God's telling you, you got to do your homework. Because I'm always like yelling at him to do his homework. He's like, nah, mom's got to do her homework. So I felt like I got an almost instant answer to like, no, stay on track. You can do this. Don't be distracted. And it's just where I'm at. I'm having those moments where I'm talking things out loud and I'm processing. The more I'm authentic about it, the more I share it with the people I love in my circle, the more answers come almost instantly. So I know I'm connected. I feel safe. I'm not scared in a way that I feel like I'm not going to survive this moment in time. It's just change is always difficult. And the pressure's on. I've got some writing deadlines. I've got to get focused. I've got to do it. I know that it's helping others. I know that the first book is thousands of them. I think we did a count and thousands are now making it into sober living in prisons. And I'm getting messages from people. So I know that I have a purpose. And in order to serve it, I have to just keep doing the work one day at a time. And so that was a long dog interrupted, drawn out where I'm at. But that's my check-in. And I'm above all, I'm grateful for today. And I'm grateful for all you guys. Hope Shot is my family. And I love y'all.
Love you too, Melissa. Thanks for coming on tonight and sharing. And I'm excited for you. I'm really excited. And you know what? I promise you, if you build it, they will come. That's just how it goes. And that's how this happened right here. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now that this thing started and the right people were put in your place right at the right moment when you exactly need them. And that's just how it goes. Look how we met.
I know.
At the right moment, and we're almost 2 years into this thing, but I think it was like May 2 years ago or June.
It was May, two years ago when the book launched the first time. And then the Hope Shot picked me back up when I was down on the ground with having to relaunch the book. And it ended up being this huge ministry, and it's doing even better and serving the purpose it was meant for. And because of you guys and your support, look, my logo. It's designed by, you can't see that little B thing. It's designed by Justin. Like my ministry, the face of my ministry is from you guys. It's amazing. So I know that. I don't know if anybody out there is listening and can like identify with this. Maybe I'm not unique. Somebody out there has got to get this. Like you're exactly right, Justin. We show up and it's going to fall into place. And then if not, it means that we put our energy and attention on something else. And eventually it's going to click and it's going to jive. I just seem to always, even though I know that, and through this writing journey and experience, I've had so many opportunities that should give me faith in that. I lose faith. I do. Sometimes I do. And people think, I do these videos and I go out and I do these talks and I do all this stuff. And people think that I'm full of like confidence and she's got her act together. That's not true. I'm lonely a lot and I'm scared and I have to constantly turn to resources. You know, I had to find a new home group. I had to find a new sponsor. I'm working the steps again. It's been a while. Like, I have to do stuff to keep me on track and not let me get distracted with those voices, that quiet, the voice of God. And I'm so proud of Caesar for doing that Bible study and trying something new and getting outside of himself, because it's exactly what it is that I know I'm supposed to be doing too. There's many of us that are out there right now that we need that. We need to think outside the box and grow and not be scared, because we're not alone.
Never alone. Never alone.
Dude, I love what you just said, that people from the outside looking in that think we just have this confidence and that we have it together. And we get pretty vulnerable on here and talk about that we don't have it all together and we don't always have that confidence. But it amazes me what somebody on the outside looking in thinks. Mm-hmm. And that's me too. Like, I can look at somebody else's life and go, oh man, just everything's perfect. I wish I had that. But I know better. I know that nobody's got a perfect life. We're all struggling with something. Pick your poison, self-confidence, lack of faith, whatever we're going through any particular day, week, or month. But the thing we do different than everybody else is we keep showing up.
We keep going.
No matter what, we keep moving forward. We keep doing what we know is the right thing to do. And that's courage. That's courage to face things that you have no idea what the outcome is going to be. That's faith to go ahead and go out there and face these things when you have no idea what the outcome is going to be. Hey, I'm going to go write a book. I don't know what that looks like. You know what I mean? Like, what you did takes courage and it takes faith. And did it go the way you thought it was going to go? No. But did it go?
Actually, it's better now.
But that's what I mean, though. So,
yeah.
It's just that. That's like a whole lecture on faith right there. Is we're putting our necks out there and we're doing things that are uncomfortable and we're leaving the outcome in our higher power's hands. We're going, okay, I'm gonna put forth the work. I remember Justin. We're trying to do YouTube videos of the Hope Child. It's just people telling their stories one after another at like this plastic card table sitting in his living room with like camera equipment and stuff. It's super awkward, but it's what we needed to do. Justin had this experience recently at that time, wanted to get some things off his chest, started inviting his recovery peeps. We all were like, yeah, heck yeah, we're going to do that. And then it was like, then we did our first live and then we're like, oh my God, this is way better, man. This is like, we can talk to each other and we can have a conversation and do stuff and not just sit there and be filmed and like and say
weird
thing. Dude, yeah, it was
weird.
But then we found this out and it amazes me if when your intentions are good and you're putting yourself out there, what comes back. And our intentions have always been good. We're not in this for any other thing except to try to help somebody, to try to reach somebody, to let somebody identify with what we're going through or the solution that we found, whatever brand that may be. You just got my brain percolating, so I had to get in there, because if you ever question your faith, look at what we've already done on faith alone. It's hard to be inspired all the time, but it's easy to look back and go, oh, yeah. It's been working this whole time. Okay, I guess I'll just keep doing it then.
All right, Nate, what's up, man? How are you?
Hello, everybody. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I just want to give a shout out to like the people in the comments too, especially your wife, Justin. There was like a little bit of a controversial comment on there, and Tiffany said something that I was thinking as well. It's a beautiful place when we can get on here and be honest and transparent and not get judged or shamed or people get angry at each other. It's all love. Anyway, I've been watching them, and I think it's a really cool experience to, you know, especially on a social media platform when someone brings up, you know, how social media is. Someone, it's like East versus West, man. Tupac and Biggie, you know, and it can get pretty ugly out there. So just like kind of go back on and just reflect on the last week or so. Caesar, I started the week deathly ill. I was incapacitated, just very, very, very sick. Yeah, I couldn't really move. And what's cool, though, is in that process, I still showed up. I still went to my meetings. I still took calls. I still was able to navigate a few people into sober living, and I still showed up. And I was reflecting during that time. I remember just using any excuse to do nothing. I could use anything, especially a sickness. And I remember always in those times feeling really sorry for myself and being in my head. And, you know, I wasn't able to move around much. So I was just, it got really dark. I was reflecting during this sickness where I was pretty good. I was pretty sharp. I got a little restless when in day three, just with what everybody shared tonight. In the last few months, I completely changed my home group. I changed my sponsor. That's a really scary move, man. Especially for someone that's so accustomed to routine and patterns. And I got into a new fellowship and had to introduce myself to new men. I was the new guy. And what has happened though is that it forced me to grow. It put me in a position where I either could be a fly on the wall or I could make my presence known and take some action and be a part of. And it what Caesar was saying, it gave me this new energy, this new spark. And what I've discovered is I've met some really cool individuals that have like 30 years, 25 years, and they are just full of enthusiasm for recovery and life. And dare I say it, with God. And let me just say that I use God because it's a common term, right? I don't believe in a Catholic God, a Christian God, a Buddha, a Allah. I don't know what I believe in. All I know is there is a power and that I have access to that power and I'm able to see it manifest in my life and others' life on a daily basis. I choose to call it God because everybody knows what I'm talking about. When I say God, I'll call it my source sometimes. I'll call it my higher power. It doesn't matter. I know it's not a religious God. I know it's a spiritual God. And guess what? If your God is Jesus or Allah or Buddha, hell yeah, man, I'm cheering for you too. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that we connect to something other than ourselves. My mind is not in charge anymore. And whenever it is in charge, I'm in trouble. That's when things get messy for me. I just wanted to put that out there when I said, anyway, so this week I had this experience, right? My sponsor and his sponsor had this little like group. It was a meeting. It wasn't like a 12-step meeting. It was just some sponsees and sponsors getting together. And we listened. Sometimes they listen to Emmett Fox. Sometimes they listen to Eckhart Tolle. And this person that we listened to, I don't know who it was, but it was along the vein of like Eckhart Tolle talking about being present and talking about your higher self and your lower self and how we have to achieve and strive to be our higher self because our higher self is tuned into the frequency that is this power, right? This source that exists. And when we're tuned into that, life doesn't come at us. We flow into it. It's effortless. There's no big deals. It's just another thing that we embrace and accept and keep moving forward because we know that's what's supposed to be happening to serve some greater purpose. Even if we're not privy to that purpose at that time, it's meant to be happening. Right. And here I am, right. I'm in this group. There's like maybe 12 men, right. And all different times, all different recoveries, just getting super vulnerable and transparent, talking about this power, this God. And I like had this, like, I was just overflowing with gratitude and appreciation and like awareness that everything that I have been through in these last few months, last year, is all a culmination to where I'm around, surrounded by these group of guys talking about this very sensitive, vulnerable subject. And everybody is just getting raw and honest. And I knew I'm exactly where I belong right now. I knew that when I left here, I'm going exactly where I belong to be. I'm right who I'm supposed to be with. The people that are in my life right now are exactly the people that are meant to be there. And I felt complete freedom, right? And I don't know about you guys, but freedom, internal freedom for a guy like me is priceless. It is the most beautiful, rewarding gift. It has nothing to do with external blessings, no material stuff, just that freedom of spirit, right? And that freedom of joy and gratitude. I had this aha moment. I'm like, okay, this is where I belong. It's really a beautiful thing for when you have those moments. And it would, and then after that, you know, that was on a Thursday night. Then the next day, I'm just really firing. I'm able to help some people. I go connect with my dad. I go connect with a friend. I try to get some homeless guy over to BayCare. He decides halfway over that his appointments and his clothes are more important than getting help. And I'm like, okay, we'll send you back. I'm here when you're ready. And then I go to help support Danielle's brother at a meeting, hear him speak and tell a story. And then we get in the car and we take the dog and we go to the East Coast, stay in a hotel and go connect to the ocean and surf in the morning. And it's funny because, you know, not to get too personal on here, but Danielle was trying to help this young lady who asked her to be her sponsor, and she ultimately passed away last week. And what's cool about it is we're out there surfing and it could be all about us. I went and grabbed Danielle's hand and we said a prayer for this girl and her kids and her family. And that's what it's about for me today. It's about understanding. And that's where I'm at in my recovery right now. I'm just on this spiritual journey, and I'm getting every day. I'm trying to figure out different and unique and all these different paths to get closer to who I believe in, because I know that the closer I am to that, the further away I am from myself, my selfishness, my insecurities, my fears, all those things that everybody were discussing on here that I too suffer from, self-worth. I made the dire mistake of weighing myself at Publix today, and I was a mess. I literally thought, man, why am I even working out for? Why am I eating well for? And Danielle's like, you've gained muscle, you idiot. That's not fat. And I'm like, huh, but I don't believe her. This is what I'm talking about. We are all works in progress. We are fallible. We're imperfect. But every day, what do? I strive. I wake up. I get on my knees. I do my reading. I reach out to a few guys and I make myself available to be of service. And I'm constantly giving praise to who I believe in, because I know without that connection, without that power, I have none of these blessings in my life today. That's where I'm at in my recovery, just figuring out how to get closer to God, getting surrounded by people that are like-minded and on that same journey, that aren't with the drama, that aren't with all that other stuff. They're all just about doing the next right thing, figuring out how to connect to this power and helping the next guy. And I find when I'm in this flow, right, life is just easier and things just unfold organically for me. And it's not a fight. It says in some literature that I subscribe to that we cease fighting anything or anyone. How do we cease fighting anything or anyone? I'll tell you, you get a power that is stronger than those anythings or anyone's, and anything is possible. I promise. I did a post when I got back from surfing, because Danielle got me this cool GoPro. So we've been able to start like collecting footage while we surf. And there's this part where I'm telling Danielle, that was a good wave. And then I'm like, oh, look at this one. And I'm like, oh, I'm like a kid. I have this like childlike innocence and joy and happiness out there. And it just made me really reflective and very grateful and super humble. And I put on this post, what a life we get to live today, Danielle. And it's all as a result of this program, these steps, this fellowship, and most importantly, this connection that I have with this power that just is forgiving and loving and patient and tolerant for a madman like me who still struggles internally on a daily basis, but has a power that heals it on a daily basis and gives me the strength to continue moving forward in this deal and making myself available for the next guy who may need help. What a life. It's amazing. That's all I got.
Nate, I think that's the best thing we can do for ourselves, is tap into that childlike innocence, because we all have it, but it's been filtered out by the world pretty much. If we can tap into, that's when we really tap into creativity, to our empathy, to being connected to the earth, all of it, and to our higher power, essentially. So I'm gonna share a little bit about where I'm at, and then we'll close it out. But so this past week I went to a Podfest conference, which was really cool. And I was trying to connect with people. And like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm going to harness my inner extrovert, right? And this, because you have to, this is what I have to do. I'm borderline, but more introvert than extrovert. I could be extrovert at times, but I'm more introvert than extrovert. And I'm like, I'm going to harness it. And then I was like, oh, wait, I didn't harness it that well. But I try. I would talk to anybody that was willing to talk to them when the opportunity presented itself. And I go in there with expectations on like how it's going to go and what I'm going to do. And I'm going to be this amazing outgoing person. And none of it happened. What was really cool, though, is like imposter syndrome came up. And I was like, I relate. Me, that's me. And we were talking about imposter syndrome, you know, and everybody was putting their hand up because I was trying to connect with like a lot of mental health people. I'm trying to get out there with different podcasters and mental health. And it's funny. There's not really recovery podcasts that were at this thing at all. And I was like, okay, well, hey, I'm here. I'm stuck in addiction for 23 years of my life. And I'm here doing a podcast and mental health and substance misuse. And it was cool to connect with people, but a lot of it brought up about the imposter syndrome and feeling like you don't have anything to share. And I brought up the fact that we're uniquely qualified to do what we do. We're uniquely qualified. And this wasn't just about recovery. This is on a person that used to play tennis and was like talking about something to do with tennis. And she felt the same exact way. And it's like, oh, I relate to that so much. And I gave her some information that probably helped her. And there was another lady there that her husband and her son were killed in the same day. And she was trying to do something on grief. Like she felt like she needed to talk about it. She was there trying to start up a podcast. And some information I shared with her was like, we're messengers. Like all of us here on this screen and you in the comments, anybody that wants to recover out loud or even have grief, we're messengers. We have to put our story out there and get it out there. If we feel like it's been placed on our heart to do something and tell our story and say something, and it's been placed on our heart, just do it. Because we have a responsibility to the next person that might be struggling that you don't know if they're going to make it. We have a responsibility to reach out, man, and put our message out there that this is how I got through it. And you can too. And what I told her was like, we have a responsibility, but it's a trickle down effect that we may never see because of that message. You know what I mean? We put it out there. We don't know if it's going to have an impact. We don't know if it's going to help anybody, but we do it anyways because we have a responsibility. I know for a fact I'm not supposed to be here. I should have been back in the freaking alley or in a car or wherever, man, stabbed up. There's multiple times I look back and I can say like, damn, bro, I am lucky. I am grateful and lucky to be here. And that's why it's important to make sure that we share our message, no matter how big or how small. It could be in your local meeting. It could be in your church, like Caesar's doing. Okay. It's could be starting a meeting. It's starting going out there to your church and advocating for those things. Like the person said in the comments that I don't have fellowship like that. We'll create it. We are creative. And like Nate said, tap into your inner like child and create. We have to get out of that mindset, man. Still our minds, connect to the power and start creating and being and all those things and be childlike in order to tap into what we're truly meant to do. Somebody told me once we can cross our purpose with our destiny and some other things and everything aligns, man, we're in our we're like in, I forget what he says. Damn it, I messed that up. But he says when you align like how you make money and your passion, that's when you know you're in your purpose. And how do you get to your purpose? There, I said it. I got it. I got it, people. I'm bringing it back. That's right. Yeah. Laser beams and fireworks. Sorry, Melissa. I know. But that's when you know, man. And like this weekend, I needed, and I'm always thinking about what's next. How do we take what we're doing here to make it tangible to help the next man, to help the next person? I'm always thinking, I don't know why my brain goes 1,000 miles a minute, but that's what it thinks. What are we doing this for? We're just like a regular old podcast, like a recovery podcast. There's so many people doing it. How do we take this and do something about it? Do something different. How do we stand out? What does that look like? And it gave me motivation. It gave me something to obsess about now, but it's good stuff. And I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I don't obsess too much and piss off my wife, but whatever.
You obsess? No, no, that's crazy talk. You talked about imposter syndrome. Melissa talked about lack of faith. One of the reasons that we do this gratitude list in the morning, it's a reminder. So I can go back to year two in recovery. And when I was doubting myself, I can look back and go, look how far I've come. I could probably do anything if I really put my mind to it. And then year five, I can look back and go, look at the deaths in my family that I overcame. Look at all these things. I can probably do anything. And if you take the time to look back from where you came from to where you're standing, that tends for me to reignite the faith in my abilities, the drive that I know that I can do these things. I know I can do hard things. I can look back and go, I can do hard things. So like Nate with the scale going, oh man, why am I even working out anymore? Like a little bitty shoelace will trip me up and I'll go, oh man, everything is just crap. But if I stop for a second and I look back and I see what I've overcome and how far I've made it from when I started on this journey, that just motivates me so much to keep moving forward, because my life's unrecognizable from anywhere that I was ever in the past. From before recovery, from early recovery to where I am right now, it's unrecognizable. I've never lived like this. I've never done this well, and I've never had anything to say that anybody ever wanted to hear. We're invited to speak places. We're asked to start classes. You're asked to go sign books and do these things. Sometimes we just need to take the freaking compliment and realize that we are doing good things and we can do more. We can continue to do these things. Just don't, I guess I'm rambling, but don't let the self-doubt in your head be louder than the proof of what you can do. Because if you take the time to look back at what you've already done, and I'll go all the way back to, if you're on this show and you've got 2 days, look back at those 2 days and go, well, I can get two more. It just, you got to slow down enough to take a look at where you were and where you're standing now. And that will give you a lot of motivation to take the next steps in the right direction.
Thanks, Caesar. I muted you. Sorry. I don't know why.
I saw that. You just made me second guess myself if I'd just been talking for 2 minutes.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right. I'm done. I'm sorry. I love you.
I just want to say that if there's anybody out there that is watching this that feels like maybe there's something in the book that I wrote that may bring you some inspiration or hope on your journey, the proceeds from the book go to getting copies to people that need hope. If you're unable to purchase a copy, then I will be happy to send you one. I wrote it for that reason, which is to create unity and share hope with each other. So just message me at Sober Now, or if you can't find me, hit Hope Shot up and they'll send you in the right direction. That's it.
Yep, definitely. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here tonight. We appreciate you all for being here, comment and sharing your recovery with us. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on last minute, like usual. I'm going to get better at this one day, I promise. Good to have you back, Caesar. Nathan, you know. Oh, wait, yeah. Wait, what do I want to do? Oh, wait. This is the balloons one, isn't it? Let's do this. There we go. All right. Wait. It's fainted. Yeah. Warren. All right, guys. Until we'll see you next time. Love y'all. Peace. Hope you guys have a great week.